This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina wa Nabiina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qad aflaha al-mu'minun. الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون وقال تعالى واستعينوا بالصبر والصلاة وإنها لكبيرة إلا على الخاشعين الذين يظنون أنهم ملاقو ربهم وأنهم إليه راجعون صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected brothers and sisters, firstly, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We're here to discuss the topic about khushu in salah and how to attain khushu in salah. Now, it's a topic which I believe most of you would have been concerned about, because most of us are praying every single day and our minds drift. And they don't drift once, they drift again and again. And I get this constant question coming up: how do I, you know, Shaykh, how do I keep my mind in salah where it needs to be, and how do I maintain that khushu or that inner devotion? First and foremost is, my brother, my sister, that's here listening to this, or whoever's listening to this afterwards. First and foremost is, salah is something which is the most important after I become a Muslim, after you become Muslim. You've got to understand, when Allah Azza wa Jal, He tells us, or His Messenger tells us, there are five pillars of Islam, and He says Shahada, that to actually testify that Allah is one and Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the Messenger of Allah, the next thing comes Salah. Why? Why is that the case? The case is, as a believer, you've just said, I believe in you, Allah. But for you to remain connected with Allah, Allah has given us salah. And connection means, there's different types of connections. You know, and I know, when you put your phone you plug it in, and you want to charge your phone. It depends on the charger. If you've got a loose charger, or a wire that's loose, and it's sometimes connecting, sometimes not connecting, sometimes connecting, ding, ding, it's on and it's connected, and you see that, you know, that little lightning thing on the side, that's, you know, it's getting charged up, and sometimes it doesn't connect. You know, I know that phone is going to take a long time to charge, or it won't actually get charged up, especially if the loose connection has made it switch off. You know, the connection from that remains. My brothers, my sisters, this salah itself is to create not only the connection with Allah, it's to maintain that devotion we've got with Him. That connection with Allah has to be something that becomes more and more real. There's a real connection. Now, let me give you an example, right? Yesterday, I was with a friend, and, you know, we just, as friends, we're just sitting there, you know, having lunch, and we're having a bit of a, you know, just normal talk, right? It's halal to have normal talk sometimes, guys, all right? So don't be so serious. Sheikh's having a normal talk, you know. So sitting around there, we had some, you know, Turkish food or whatever, and then we just sitting there, and he said, he just talked about business because he's a businessman. And he said, one of the key things about business is that you've got to believe that you're going to attain, you know, the monies or the status that you want in the business world. You've got to believe in that. You've got to seriously dream that you're going to become someone who's rich, and you've got to go for it. And I'm listening to this person. And it's true, businessmen have to have this. You have to have a real dream to try and get what you want. If you don't, forget it. If you're not that serious about it, forget it. You'll just become a normal businessman or a businesswoman, and you'll probably, you know, make something, not make something one day. You know, it'll be in and out. You won't be anyone who's seriously made anything. So he said that you've got to have, in this clicked in my mind. He said to me, you've got to have it always on your mind that, and by the way, right, this is a friend who's a non-Muslim, of mine, and you know, yes, it is okay for you to have friends as non-Muslims, okay? You know, don't get all finger. Sheikh said, friend with a non-Muslim, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Now, you guys are telling me, if you've got that in your mind, then forget it. But anyway, so he's telling me that you've got to not only believe and have that, he said, you've got to have it on your mind. You've got to have that business on your mind, and then only you become successful. And it triggered something in me straight away. So I said to him, I said, tell me, yeah, what do you get after you become successful as a businessman? He said, you know, you get money or you get this. I said, yes. I said, you know this thing you said to me about you've got to have your mind always on that business? I said, the same thing we say in religion. That you've got to have your mind always on Allah to get Allah. Right? You've got to be serious about Allah. Now, I'm not saying to you guys, look, a lot of you have come here today, you're thinking, look, I haven't even connected up, and this guy's saying I've got to be connected all the time. You know, it's too much. No, no, listen to me first. A man who's after, a woman who's after the 100th pound, they've got 100 pounds. There's only so much you can do with 100 pounds. The man or woman who said that, you know, I'm after my 1,000 pound, and they've got the 1,000 or 2,000 or 5,000 pounds, and now they're on the 1,000 pounds, all right? They can only do so much with 5, 7, 8,000 pounds. You've got 10, 20, 30, you do even more. You've got a, now when a person gets serious, they say, no, I want to get 100,000 pounds or 200 or 300. Now you're talking serious here. But the next person can say, well, I want my million and I want my few millions. The next person's talking about, you know, the 10 millions and the 100 millions or the billions and so on. And it goes on. My friend, please don't sit here thinking, you know, that's too much. No, 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 no. Every businessman starts off with nothing. Do you all agree with me? Yes or no? Yes or no? Come on, tell me. Most businessmen, unless you've inherited it, most businessmen are going to start with nothing. And they go out there and they strive first with the pounds and the 10 pounds and the 100 pounds, thousands and 10,000s, and then they get the 100 thousands and beyond to the millions. With your connection and my connection with Allah, you've got to be very serious. You've got to think, what will I get if I connect with Allah for a few seconds? That's it, just for a few seconds. Don't tell me Allah's not going to give you something even if you connect with Him properly for a few seconds. And then you think, if I was to connect with Allah for a couple of minutes or a minute. So, you know, like you're saying about pound and 10 pounds, you're moving from a second to a minute. I don't know how many of you have experienced being connected with Allah without a break, without your mind going anywhere for one whole minute. I tell you, there's something about this that is so electrifying that you want to say, I want to be connected for a few minutes, not just a minute. So those people who get connected in their salah, so they're doing a 2-rakat salah or a 4-rakat salah, and they're connected with Him for a good few minutes, the enjoyment they get, my friends, the enjoyment they get, there is nothing on this earth that can match it. And I'm saying to you, wallahi, there is nothing on this earth. You go after drugs, you go after, you know, women, you go after, you know, men for women, you go after money, you go after, you know, whatever you want, business, you go after the world, you go after the dunya, you go after cars, you go after sports, you go after celebrities, you go after your own self, your own image, you go after fame, you go after being the best known person, whatever it is you are going after, the best car, the best phone, the best this, you go after whatever you want. There is no greater satisfaction than spending a full few minutes completely connected to Allah in salah. I'll tell you another further reason why. It is because when you're reading the Quran, your tongue is moving, right? And if your mind's connected, it's connected. When you do the dhikr of Allah, your tongue is moving. When you say subhanallah, alhamdulillah, your tongue is moving. You're supposed to connect with your mind as well. If you can, that's the best thing. But if you haven't, but at least your tongue is moving. When you've gone give sadaqah, your hand is moving. So it's just your hand that's given the sadaqah. When you give zakah or something, your hand moves. When you're in sawm or fasting, your body is not eating, but the mind still can wander, is free to wander, whatever he wants to do. When you're in hajj, you can talk to someone. At the same time, you're probably doing your tawaf, or you can look around, you're doing your tawaf, But you're still looking around. Your mind can wander, but you're still doing your du'as. You're supposed to be connected with Allah. I know that. But you still, you've got that opportunity to walk, to talk, and to look around. Salah is the only ibadah, only worship, where your tongue, your mind, your fingers, your hands, your body, your back, your toes in sujood, your nose, your forehead, your entire body and your mind supposed to be completely engrossed in the devotion of God without any distraction, without you looking around, without you talking to anyone, without you having any attention to anyone save Allah Azza wa Jalla. It's the only ibadah we've got, only thing that prevents us from being in any other state. Allahu Akbar. You think how strong this connection Allah is giving to us. How much meaning there is if you just think of it like that. And coming back to what my friend said about a person, and you know, we're going now to the minutes, okay? So minutes of thinking about Allah. You imagine if you could ever spend, you know, half an hour or an hour just completely thinking about Allah. You know how powerful that would be. You know, you imagine what you would get for that. You got £100,000, you could go out there and you can buy, seriously, you can buy a Porsche out there. Right? Second hand one, but anyway, you can buy one. You got £200,000, £300,000, you buy a really good house out there. You got that money. If you've got the power of the connection of Allah for a few minutes, or up to a good half an hour, or up to an hour, can you imagine what power Allah would give you? What kind of thing you would have with Allah that when you wanted something, Allah would give it to you? Or when you really wanted Him to keep you calm and cool, Allahu Akbar. Even the man or the woman who spends a few seconds in the dhikr of Allah without being disconnected, Allah gives them a tranquility in the heart that is like no other. So we're talking about minutes and hours. You know why I'm getting to this? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now imagine this, okay? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's go and take the eyes of Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu anha. Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu anha would often sit down or lie down and just watch Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam praying. It was so beautiful just to observe and see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam praying. And I'll tell you, I'm going to share this thing with you. I love, one of the things I love is when I'm with my Shaykh, Mufti Rashidur Rahman Farooq from Bangladesh, I love sitting away from him, behind him, he doesn't know I'm sitting there. I love sitting there and I just love watching him pray. You're going to say to me, what? Watching a man pray? What do you get out of watching a person pray? I am telling you, I can sit there for minutes on, just watching my Shaykh pray because, and I'm telling you, Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu anha was doing the same thing. Because when you see a man in khushu and his whole body or her whole body is complete, in complete tranquility to Allah, complete devotion to Allah. In fact, when my Shaykh prays, you know some people when they pray, they're like, just watch my body. Can you see that slight movement on my body? Yeah, slight movement on my body. You won't see that in my Shaykh when he's praying. You'll just see this figure standing and just standing. And just standing so peacefully. And when he goes into ruku, he goes in there so peacefully. It's like he's enjoying every moment of going into that ruku and staying in that ruku. And when you watch as a person, that man is there in his ruku. You get a satisfaction. Can you imagine the satisfaction the person is getting? And when he gets up and goes from Sami Allahu Alhamdulillah into sujood, and he goes in there, and he puts his head there. You know, it's like, there's one thing that, you know, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. There's one thing. One is, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And you, when you go there, you really enjoy that moment when you dug your hands onto the prayer mat, and you put your nose onto the prayer mat in front of you, and you place your forehead, and you are enjoying every moment you're on the prayer mat. There's something different to that. So Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي عَنْ حُسْنِهِنَّ وَطُولِهِنَّ Don't you ask me about the beauty and the length of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's prayers. Don't you ask me about that. Because he loved to make them longer and longer until she says in a hadith, hadith of Bukhari, that his feet would swell up and she felt sorry for him. And after he said salam, she felt, this is a woman who's watching him pray, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and she's watched him and she's enjoyed the salah, but something bothering her, which is her beautiful, beloved husband has got now swelling feet after the salah. And she said, Messenger of Allah, hasn't Allah forgiven all your past sins and your future ones that you should put yourself through this? And what was his response? His response was, أَفَلَا أُحِبُّ أَنْ أَكُونَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا Should I not love more to show Allah how much of a thankful and a great thankful servant I can be? Should I not love doing that? Because the thing is, his feet are swelling, but he's enjoying that also. That my Allah, who I've connected with him with no other, I'm enjoying that so much, forget about my feet. Forget about any pain. Forget about my body. Forget about what exists. Forget about all around. In fact, he used to say to Bilal, you know the words are, when he said to Bilal radiallahu anhu to give the adhan, he didn't say, Bilal, go and give the adhan. In Sahih Bukhari, he said, arihna bis-salati ya Bilal. Bilal, relieve us by giving the adhan. You know, think about it. Relieve us by giving the adhan. Meaning that, we've been in this world and with all the people around and with everything around and all the troubles and woes and all the cries and all the people around and every other thing that's going around. And I'm asking you, Bilal, now it's the moment. Say the adhan and cut us off from the dunya. Cut us off. Let's not exist in this dunya for a moment. Give me that relief I'm looking for again. He called it qurratu ayni. He called it the coolness of his eyes. In fact, he was like, you know, if you have fish in water and the fish takes in the water, and when you take the fish out of the water, it's not the same as it's in the water. When the fish is in water, it's swimming, it's loving it. You take the fish out of water, it starts to move frantically because it wants water again. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was like that fish in water where relief is there when he was in salah. And when he was outside salah, he was looking for the next relief, which would be the next salah. Allahu Akbar. Many of us have got into this life that salah is the one, or let's just get it done. Just get it done. Yeah, just okay, come. Yes. Okay, I'm praying. I'm coming. Allahu Akbar. Whoa, what a goal, man. 100 horsepower, you know. What a ball. What surah, man? Oh, yeah, quick one. Which one? You got Walasri, you got Inna Atayna, you got Qul Huwa Allah. You know, I learned those three surahs. You know what I'm saying? Like, which one should I use? How desperate am I? Because if I'm desperate, I'll use Wal Asri. If I'm really desperate, I'll use Qul Huwa Allah. And if I'm really, really desperate, it has to be Inna Atayna Al-Kawthar, because there's only three verses there. I mean, can you imagine the person just doing boom, boom, up, down, up, down. And it's like they want to get out of this so they can get back to the world. It's the complete opposite with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He wants to get into his salah so that he can find his relief. He wants to find his relief. Now, my brothers, my sisters, if today has woken you up of why Allah's told us to pray, then take something from today, which is what? The more of this you taste, the more of this you have, you don't know the power Allah will give you in your heart, the nur, the light, the barakah, the blessings, the rahmah, the mercy, the generosity, the fadl, the bounty of Allah you will feel. Because you know what? There's nothing greater than you feeling that I'm just relaxed, I'm happy. I've got all these things around. I'm doing my work. I'm looking after people. I'm doing everything I have to. But I'm so relaxed inside. From what? What are you relaxed from? You are relaxed from one of the greatest difficulties that will come across mankind. Which is what? Which is the time we are going to stand in front of Allah. And the time we're going to stand in front of Allah on the Day of Judgment is something that is going to happen to every single one of us. Is there anyone who's in doubt that this will not happen? Is there anyone who doubts of this? No? We're all mu'mineen. We believe we're going to stand. And you know what? I've done this survey again and again. And let me do this survey. From being fearful of death. So I'm going to call out the fears, okay? One fear is fear of death. Another one is the fear of living, you know, staying in the grave. Another one is the fear of coming in front of Allah on the Day of Judgment. Three fears. One, death. Two, the grave. Three, standing in front of Allah and being questioned by Allah. Hands up. Who fears out of this the most, the first one, death? Hands up. Okay, there's just a few hands. Who fears out of these three? Who fears the grave? Hands up. A few more hands up. And hands up if you fear out of these, standing in front of Allah and getting questions, hand up. Look at this. Most of you. I've done these stats again and again. Most people fear more than death, more than the grave, is standing in front of Allah. And that's the secret Allah gave for us to get our devotion of salah. It's a secret. He said, he's told us himself how to get khushu of salah in the Quran itself. He's told us the secret. The secret of getting one's devotion inside salah is, Allah says in the Holy Quran, in Surah Baqarah, ayah number 45, Surah number 2, ayah number 45, Allah says, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Seek your help through two things. Keeping yourself steadfast or having patience, whichever way you want to look at sabr. Sabr can mean steadfast, sabr can mean keeping yourself, you know, holding yourself back, or it can mean patience. And second thing, which is salah, your prayers. And then Allah said, "Wa innaha lakabira." It is a burden on people to do this salah. It is a burden to try and get your help from this salah through this means. Illa ala al-khashin, except for those who are inwardly devoted. Khashu'in means those who are inwardly devoted to Allah. There's an outward devotion and there's an inward devotion. The outward devotion is needed. That's why in salah, like for example, Allahu Akbar. When I say Allahu Akbar, I'm going to tie my hands. Wherever you tie your hands, whether it's here or here, wherever you put them on your side. When you have put yourself in salah and you're standing there without moving, you're not looking around. Right? What is that? That is a devotion on the outside. But when a person is devoted from the heart, that is khushu. So the out one in Arabic is called khudur. Kha, dad, waw, ayn. Khudur. Khudur means that my outward body is in complete command. Like how Allah wants me to have it, I've got it. So I'm completely calm with my body. I'm calm with my body, that's khudur. And khushur is my mind, my heart, that is now calm with the remembrance of Allah, completely devoted to Allah, that is khushur. So Allah prays, though we need both of them, you need to be calm on the outside, but mostly Allah prays what? The one on the inside. He says, those people who are khashin, they don't find salah to be a burden. And then he gives us the secret. What is the secret? He says, alladhina, those who. يظنون أنهم ملاقو ربهم. Those who are absolutely certain that they are going to have a mutual meeting with Allah, with their Lord. ملاقو ربهم. That means they're going to meet him, he's going to meet them. It's a mutual meeting. And what does that mean? That means that they are two things. One is that they're fearful of this meeting. Second thing is they are looking forward to this meeting. Allahu Akbar. There's two, both intertwined. Some of you are going to be absolutely fearful of this meeting. But you know what? When you get khushu in your salah, you're not fearful anymore. You're not fearful. You have a loving fear. What's a loving fear? The loving fear is, I still fear coming in front of Allah, but I have so much that Allah, now I've done for Allah in terms of my salah or anything else, that I'm now beginning to look forward, or I look forward to that meeting because you know what? I really love him from inside. And that love transpires from inside myself whenever I stand in salah. Allahu Akbar. My brothers, my sisters, honestly, from today, I want you to make an intention that you've got to experience this, even for a few seconds, and take those few seconds to a few minutes. If you can take to 1 minute, 2 minutes, it'll be Allah, it'll be transpiring. You will not know how you were without those times in your life. Because you know all the problems that you've got, that I've got, you've got, we're supposed to come to Salah, leave those problems and come in front of Allah in Salah and say, Allah, I'm here, I've got all these problems, I need you to help me. We're not supposed to carry all the problems in my head, in our heads, and come to Salah and think, Allahu Akbar, oh my God, 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 you know, all the whole Salah, as you are outside Salah, you bring all your worries inside the mind. So Allahu Akbar, and you're in pain of the mind. Why? Because you haven't stopped that door of all the problems coming into your mind. You're supposed to, and I'm supposed to stop and put a door to that and say, you know what? This is the time I cut myself off and I just go into a world with just me and Allah and I tell Him, Allah, sort it out. Or I'm not in any problem. I come to Allah and simply it's, I love you, Allah. I thank you, Allah, for all you've given me. I just want to show that appreciation with my body and my mind. That's the time to do it inside Salah. And it's very unfortunate. Many of us say, well, my dua is not answered. My Salah, I prayed Salah so many times. I've asked Allah, it's not working. Why, my friend? It's because the mind needs to be connected. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah rahimahullah, he said, there's three levels of dhikr. Three levels of dhikr. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah said, the lowest level of dhikr is when the tongue is moving, but the mind is absent. He said, the higher one above that is, when the mind is present with the remembrance of God, but the tongue is absent, meaning the tongue is not doing anything. That's the higher one. And he said, the highest of all is, when the tongue and the mind both are connected with the remembrance of Allah, that is the highest form of remembering God. That's the one we're talking about in getting khushu of salah, when the tongue and the mind both are engaged in the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So going back to what I said, with what my friend said to me, is that he said, the more you think and want business, and the more you think about it, you'll get it. I said to him a phrase. I said, we've got a phrase in Arabic, which a wonderful scholar put together. He said, مَاذَا وَجَدَ مَنْ فَقَدَكْ وَمَاذَا فَقَدَ مَنْ وَجَدَكْ. He says beautifully, what has the one found who found everything but lost God? And then he carries on saying, what has the one lost who lost everything but found God? My brothers, my sisters, in Salah is the only way we truly find Allah. It's something on a level that is beyond our scope of understanding. What is that? And here we are here to discuss it. That is, that my brothers, my sisters, this Salah is the one, is the very thing, the very tool that is going to be on the Day of Judgment my greatest thrill. And you know, on the Day of Judgment, when Allah takes out in Surah Adiyat, Allah says, from my heart He's going to take things out. Allah's going to present what's in my mind. وَحُسِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. All minds, what's going on inside, are going to be presented on the Day of Judgment. You know how dangerous that is? If I was to get on the Day of Judgment and all that was inside me was like, you know, all thoughts, ideas, you know, I'm thinking about my gran, I'm thinking about my mother who's ill, I'm thinking about my passing my exams, they're on my mind, I'm thinking about, you know, buying that car which I can't afford, I'm thinking in Salah about the pen that just suddenly broke, the nib broke, you know, such trivial matters. I'm thinking about the washing machine that's going around, what time is it going to end? I'm thinking about the wedding that's going to happen this Sunday and I'm going to go there, Allahu Akbar. I'm thinking about the mirror I'm going to stand in front of and spend another the whole hour doing all my shadowing and paddowing and brothering, right? I'm thinking about every other thing that comes in my mind, or the game of footy on Tuesday or Wednesday I'm going to have. I'm thinking about all of that. And that comes out on the Day of Judgment. How ugly is that going to make me look? How ugly is that going to make you look? And to stop that, today is the remedy. What is that? What you do is, let me take everybody somewhere. On that day, what we feel, what is that day? There's me and you. Imagine there's me and you, and we're all standing at this moment. You know what's going to happen? Allah says a beautiful word. He says, khushu is going to be on the Day of Judgment. On the Day of Judgment, there's going to be a khushu. And that khushu is what? Khushu means what? Internal devotion. Allah says, خَشَعَتِ الْأَصْوَاتُ لِلرَّحْمَانِ فَلَا تَسْمَعُ إِلَّا هَمْسَ. Allah says on that day in Surah Taha, He says that forget people's minds thinking of Allah. Allah, Allah, everyone's going to be thinking about Allah on that day. Everyone, Allah, Allah, forgive me. Allah, forgive me. Allah won't do it again. Allah, Allah, please, please. Allah, let me off. Allah, don't punish me. Allah, Allah, don't do this. Allah, please, please, I beg for your mercy. Allah. Everyone's going to be in the dhikr of Allah on the day of judgment. Everyone, kafir, mu'min, believer, fasiq, sinner, you name it. The one who prayed, the one who didn't pray. Everyone's going to be thinking about Allah on that day. It's only here that we're forgetting Him. And when we're in that state, Allah says, khasha'atil aswat. All sounds, voices, all tones, all words are going to be completely humble towards Him. They're all going to be mentioning Him. Only Him, Lirrahman. Khashatil aswatu Lirrahman. They're all going to be devoted to the Most Merciful. You know why? We're going to be saying, Oh Rahman, Ya Rahman, O one who has great mercy, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, please. Please, when it's my turn, just let me off. Just show me your mercy. I don't know anything else. I won't ever do it again. Send me back once. Just once, and I will show you. Just give me one more chance. Imagine everyone's got the same thought. Sayyidatuna Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, when Rasulullah said that everyone's going to be naked, she said, naked? Are not the men going to look at the women in front of men? What are you saying, Mashallah? He said, Al-amru ashaddu ala dhalik. He said, Oh Aisha, the matter will be so severe that men will not be concerned about another naked human being in front of them. Women will be the same. They won't be concerned about anyone, let alone anything. The only thing on the mind is, Oh Rahman, please, please, me, no. Anyone else goes, that's something, me, please, no. At any cost, no. I'll do anything I can. I'll try and prove to you. I'll be their best. You send me once and I'll show you. That's what's on everyone's mind and everyone's tongue. Imagine at that time, my turn comes and your turn comes. So we go in front of Allah. And now this is the moment when Allah is going to say, Oh so-and-so, do you remember? Do you remember the time when you spent alone? And I gave you, you know that phone you had? Who gave you that phone? And we'll be there saying, Allah, you gave me the phone. Who gave you that money to buy that phone? I say, Allah, you gave me that. Who gave you the money to go on the holiday? Allah, you gave me that. Who gave you that car? Allah, you gave that. Who gave you that relationship of your wife? Allah, you gave that. And if question goes on, so I give you the phone. And I give you the holiday, and I give you all of that, and I give you money, and you take my money given to you, my provided phone to you, and you do this, and you do that. You go on holiday and you get up to this, and you're in this position, you do that with your husband, or with the jealous inside you, you do that. I mean, can you imagine the level of scrutiny, the question, because you can't hide anything. You can't hide anything, I can't hide anything. It's not like you've been pulled up by a policeman. And you say, no, we're talking about. We're talking about. They do it. They see. Where's your camera? It's not like that. It's not like that. You're standing in front of Rabbul Alameen, who's created the heart, who created the mind, who created the tongue, who made every organ and every cell in my body. And standing in front of me, you know how embarrassing it's going to be if I have to stand there and go through my sins? Well, guess what? We can do something now. Imagine, and this is what one scholar says. Imagine Allah Azza wa Jal says, okay, here we go. What I'm going to do to you is, I'm going to send you back. I'm going to send you back on the 31st of May. And I'm going to send you back on the day when you learned how to be devoted to me. And I'm going to take you back to that day's Asr, to that day's Maghrib. And I'm going to give you a chance to show me how devoted you could be. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, if we came back here, or if Allah said, I'm going to take you back to that hall where you saw this lecture. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, if we had the chance, we would be praying like no other prayer. Just to show Allah, you know, Allah, I love you from the bottom of my heart. And I will do anything for you. You know why? Because this salah is the very thing that can show Allah our devotion. What shows you devotion? Tell me. What's greater devotion than me saying that, guess what? I'm going to switch my mind off for 5 minutes. Allah, I'm going to switch my mind off from everything you've given me. You gave me wife, I'm going to switch it off from my wife. You gave me phone, I'm going to switch it off from my phone. You gave me TV or you gave me some other thing, instrument, I'm going to switch it off. You gave me a world where I've met people, I'm going to switch them off. I'm going to switch my family off. I'm going to switch my beloved things I like. My children. Most beloved is what? Your wealth and your children. Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُلْهِكُمْ أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Allah says, O you who believe, He says in Surah Munafiqun, 63rd Surah, O you who believe, don't let the things you are inclined towards, don't let your children, meaning your wealth and your children, don't let them distract you from the remembrance of Allah. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Whosoever will do this and allow themselves to be distracted from their wealth and from their own children, they will allow them to come in mind, and Allah will be out of the mind. Allah says, you will be the losers in the end. So these are the minutes that we're going to shut it off and show Allah, you know, Allah, I am going to show you who is the greatest. Like Ustaz Zahir said to me earlier, Allahu Akbar, what does it mean? It means that, yes, you are the greatest, you are greater. In fact, Allahu Akbar means Allah is greater. Greater. I mean greater than what? Min kulli shay, from everything. You're greater than me, my problems, whatever I have. So here we go. Here we are. To connect ourselves to Allah Azza wa Jal. And to show Allah that Allah, that's it. I'm here for you. Because what's happening inside the salah is Allah is talking to us. Believe it or not, Allah is talking to us. Hear it or not, Allah is talking to us. So when we are standing in front of Allah and we're saying, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, I want you to stop. Stop. Just for a couple of seconds. Oh Allah, I give you the greatest praise. All praise belongs to you, the Lord of all of the worlds. Of everything. Stop. Because Allah in Hadith Qudsi is saying back to me and you, Hamidani Abdi, my servant has just praised me. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the most merciful, the most kind. Stop for just 1 or 2 seconds. Because Allah is saying to you, my friend, Allah is saying to me at that moment, Athna alayya Abdi, my servant has truly given me a great amount of praise. And then we say, Maliki yawmiddin. We say, Malik, the one who owns the day of recompense. Allah replies, stop there, my friend, for a moment, for a second. Allah says in return, He says what? He says to us, by addressing us, by addressing the angels and showing us there standing and being proud of who we are. Allah says, فَوَّضَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي أَمْرِي. My servant has delegated all matters to me. He said, I am in charge of everything. Then we say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Only you I serve. Only you I seek help from. What does Allah say in return? Allah says to the angels, He said, This, هذا بيني وبين عبدي. This is now between me and my servant. My servant has not only praised me, thanked me, has said I'm in charge of all his affairs. My servant then says I'm the only one who he or she worships. My servant has said right now that he or she is seeking help from me. My angels, this is between me and my servant right now. Wali abdi ma sa'al. Whatever my servant is going to ask from me, I'm going to give it to them. That's what Hadith al-Qudsi in Muslim, Sahih Muslim says. And then we say what? We say, Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Oh Allah, guide me and keep me on the straight path. Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. All those people whom you have favored, oh Allah, their path. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. The path, not of those who have gone astray or have earned your anger, no. I want the path of those who have earned your favor. Who are they? Oh Allah, we're saying this. Oh Allah, make me like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like the Anbiya, like the Sahaba, like the people who are close to you. That's what we say. Then, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most kind. And by the way, as I'm saying this, I've got this book in front of me, Year 6 Islamic Studies, Safar Academy Year 6 Islamic Studies book. It's at the back where you can find it. There's two sections in here. One is Salah, our link with Allah. Another one is concentration in Salah. So I'm using a lot of the stuff that is inside this book to describe to you about this whole experience. And we say surah to Allah. When we said that surah, I'm not going to go into every single surah right now. But then we say Allahu Akbar and we go into a ruku. You know what ruku is, my brothers and sisters? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us, he says, when you go into ruku, fa'azzimuhu, revere Allah. You know what we're doing? I'm putting my head down. I'm putting my back down. I'm saying, Allah, you are high, I'm low. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Subhana mean that you are pure. Rabbi, my Lord. Azim, so great. My Lord, who's so great, is so pure. What does that mean? That means I'm the impure one. I'm the one that is lowly. I'm the one that has failed. You are the one who has no failure. I have failure. I'm putting my head down. I'm showing you how much I respect you. And then Sami Allahu liman hamida. The one who has Allah Azza wa Jalla has heard the one who praised him. Meaning Allah, accept this prayer of mine. It's a dua to Allah. Accept this prayer of mine. Rabbana lakal hamd. My Lord, our Lord, to you is all praise. Allahu Akbar. When a person goes in sujood, you are the greatest. With that, oh Allah, watch. Oh Allah, my hands on the ground. My palms on the ground. My fingers pointing to you. Sahih Bukhari says that the fingers should be pointing to Allah Azza wa Jalla and the fingers should be enclosed. The thumb stays separate in sujood. And my nose is on the ground. My forehead on the ground. My toes, you know, Sahih Bukhari says that the toes should be turned towards the Qibla while you're inside your sujood. So my toes are towards you, my knees are on the ground. Oh Allah, I cannot get any lower. And in this position, I say, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. So pure, my Lord, who is the Most High. So pure, my Lord, who is the Most High. So pure, my Lord, who is the Most High. That's what I'm saying again and again. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ فِي صَلَاتِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاسَ. He said in Hadith of Bukhari, the closest a servant can get to Allah is inside the sajda itself. You cannot get closer to Allah than that. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, when you've experienced what I'm going to tell you to do today, I want you to practice on this, because when you get into that sujood and you find tranquility in sujood, there is no other greater tranquility than the contentment and the serenity Allah gives one inside sujood. You will want to stay there for long periods of time. I've done this test over and over again in London, outside London. I've done it all over the country, this salah that I'm going to demonstrate on, but I've actually done this on longer periods of time, with adults, with children as well. And I'm telling you, you will witness things in your life that you have not witnessed before. I did this once in 6 weeks, this whole salah. I had boys and girls in a class, in Safar Academy, the academy that I run. I had boys in class. Boys were separately, they made a chart. They would bring it every week and we'd see the scores of how much devotion they've created within the week. The girls would do separately. They had a competition between the girls and competition separate with the boys, right? And what we did is we started to record in the beginning of how much devotion you got. And every person started with about 5% of devotion. If I ask you right now, you would say between 5 to 25% devotion was yours in the salah that you prayed, probably in Dhuhr and Fajr today, whatever it was. And then we start taking it to 50. We took it to the whole class, 50% concentration in salah. Because I gave them demonstrations on how to do it. And we did it on week after week for about 6 weeks. By the third, fourth week, we had the whole class at least 50% concentration in salah. So they went home and they tried to do every day Dhuhr, every day Asr, Maghrib, every day Isha, Fajr and so on with salah concentration. And they pushed themselves. By the third, fourth week, I started to say, have you experienced anything in your lives that you, and this is in London, this is in, you know, Kafiristan, you know, Londonistan, Kafiristan, Kufri, Kufri, you know, I don't know what else you name you want to put, you know, you enjoy all the benefits you want around here, and you call it Kafir, Kafir, Kufar, 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 you know. But anyway, this is here in London, North London. And what happens is, after the fourth week, one child says, I noticed something that which was like, SubhanAllah, I couldn't understand how this happened. I said, what? He said, I got up late in the morning, I had to go to school. And as I am getting ready, I knew I'm going to be late. There's no way unless I ran there. He said, no way unless I ran there, I would get late. He said, I just walked towards my school. And I had no time to get in there, no time to get there in time. And he says that he got there in something like 2 minutes or something. He said, I couldn't believe it. How time had become so short for him. He just couldn't believe it. Forget that, I had another student. I said to him, tell me, experience. And one of the students said, I've got an experience. I said, what? He said, before, you know what he did? He's a 13-year-old, went home. These are people who believe in it. You believe in it, this will be the same case. With anything you want, inshallah, bi'idhnillah. Maybe Allah will not give you everything you want, because there's reasons for that. But there will be things you will see, Allah will give you that you could have not got otherwise. So this student says to me, he says that I went home and I talked to my 9-year-old brother. I said, yeah, tell me what happened after that. He said, what happened after that? He said, every time our PlayStation, it breaks down in the house. So when our PlayStation breaks down, we start getting, and we go, bang, bang, tabade, you know, like, bang, bang. Start hitting it. And it starts working. Somewhere. You know, that's what you do, right? If you've got no money to fix it, you just give it a few beats and it probably starts working. He goes, then my brother, when I taught him the salah, he starts saying to me, he said, no, stand aside. He said, don't hit it, don't touch it, don't touch the PlayStation. I said, why? Why not? He said, let me get up, let me pray the 2 rakats. Let me pray the 2 rakats. So he prayed 2 rakats. And every time the PlayStation would break, he would pray 2 rakats and the PlayStation starts working. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. This is not like 13th century old some wali of Allah flying through the air. But this is something significant for our world, seriously. Then another week came, about the fifth week. The same boy says, he says, something else happened this week. I said, what? He said, me, my mother, my brother, we went to Wood Green Shopping Center and went to the car park and we parked up. And what happened is my mother was getting something out of the boot and she put the keys in the boot. She forgot and she shut the boot and the whole car was shut. So it was locked. She couldn't get in. So she was panicking now what to do, you know, who to call and so on. And he said, the little brother, 9 years old, said, Mom, just wait here. Don't do anything. Don't call anyone. You're laughing. He said, I'm going to pray 2 rakats. You're joking. I'm not joking. He said, I'm going to pray 2 rakats. So he prayed 2 rakats there and then on the concrete in Wood Green car park. And then after he did his salam, he got up, he went to the boot, put his hand there and the boot opened. Allahu Akbar. Say Allahu Akbar. You know when you have belief, Allahu Akbar. You see the same thing about Sahaba. One Sahabi, he bought a piece of land and the land was very, you know, fertile. When he bought the land, it suddenly became dry. And the Jews started to taunt him in his time. Some of the Jews started to taunt him and they said, look at him, he's changed his religion and look what happened to his land. See, he just went completely dry. Ha ha, ha ha. So he had a dry land, he couldn't do anything about it. So as they were mocking him one day, and again, this reference is only to some individuals in Islam, some Jewish individuals. We're not saying that all Jews are like this, so please, anyone there who's got an agenda to try and paste us, label us, you know, get up, Ive. So what happens is, he gets onto that field that he bought. And as they're mocking him, he prays 2 rakats. And he makes a dua to Allah, oh Allah, they are mocking me for my deen, my religion. I'm asking you to bring water out from here. And he hadn't finished his prayer when a spring came out right in front of them from that piece of land. Allahu Akbar. You want something from Allah, Allah will give it to you through this salah. If you don't get it, you feel at least the greatest contentment you could have ever done. Now what are you going to do? I'm going to give you a demonstration in a little while. In a very short while, I'm going to give demonstration. And when I give you that demonstration, you're going to do one key thing for me. And this is going to be the first key thing. After we do the demonstration, you're going to be in your places and we're going to have another 10 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes max before we wrap up. Okay? So just before I I'm going to carry on talking and the brother Hassan is going to come to the front to just say one sort of announcement, one thing. But as I'm telling you, I want you to remember this key thing for Salah. What are you going to do? The quickest and simplest thing you do to try and get the connection with Allah is this. That you imagine before you start your Salah that you are right there in front of Allah on the Day of Judgment. You know that thing I just said to you a little earlier on? That they are absolutely convinced they're going to meet with Allah. The quickest, simplest thing you do is get your mind in that mode of, you know what? I'm on the Day of Judgment. And I'm not caring about anyone else. I'm just thinking about myself. I'm actually going to just about stand in front of Allah. And guess what? I stood in front of Allah and I felt so embarrassed. Just put that in your mind. I felt so embarrassed, so embarrassed. And Allah said to me, I want to give you one chance. Just get me that salah right. I'm going to give you one chance. Now this moment, the past doesn't matter. Tell me, brothers, with honesty, tell me, you know, everything that's going on in our lives, when we stand in front of Allah on the Day of Judgment, did it matter that it took 10 minutes to download the thing? Did it matter? You know, you're there, you're thinking, man, it's taking so much time to download something. Oh, I'll come back again. Still downloading. Oh, what's wrong with this thing? Still downloading. Did it matter that you never had the car you wanted? Did it matter that the clothes that were so good and you bought with so much money, they got spoiled and you couldn't do anything about it? Did it matter that someone in your family did something to you and you're so bitter about it? Did it matter more than the time I'm standing in front of Allah or you're standing in front of Allah? Did it matter right now if angel of death comes right now? Would it matter? Would it matter how I look? Would it matter how other people are looking at me? Would it matter how much time I spend in front of the mirror? Would it matter how many grades I've got? Would it matter how great I am than my friends? Would it matter anything? Any of this would matter? No. The answer simply is no. The only thing that matters is me, myself, and I. That's it. Whatever I'm taking to the next world, that's what's going to matter. And the only thing then matters from death till I go beyond Allah on the Day of Judgment is just Allah. That's it. Just Allah. That's the only thing that matters. Only thing that matters. I want you brothers and sisters to imagine you come under the Day of Judgment. You're there on the Day of Judgment. Allah's brought us back here. We're going to do two rakats and we're going to prove to Allah Azza wa Jal how we can show Him true love from the heart and how much He matters for everything that He's given us. And those two rakats, what did Rasulullah say? He said, whosoever does a wudu and they do a very good wudu, and whosoever then prays two rakats without his face or his mind turning away from Allah. So it's only a turn towards Allah in that salah. Jannah becomes wajib on that person. Just two rakats. How many rakats, brothers? Two rakats. And where's the hadith? The hadith is in Bukhari. Two rakats and you get that. I want you to make an intention that you're going to make a two rakats in a very short while. And you're going to have your full mind towards it. And you're going to do the demonstration with me here. I'm going to spend another 10 minutes or so with you to give you other ideas of increasing your khushu in salah. What I want you to do now is, as you're in your place, we're going to do something with our eyes closed. But when you pray your salah, this question I get asked again and again whenever I've done this is that, do you have to keep your eyes closed in salah? Is it allowed to keep your eyes closed in salah? The answer to that is, permanently you're not allowed to keep your eyes closed in salah because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pray his salah with his eyes open. However, if you think that devotion is increased by initially closing your eyes, then close your eyes. You're allowed to do that. You're allowed to close your eyes. And even if you do the full two rakats or four rakats later on and your eyes are closed and you do it, it's completely accepted. But you're supposed to slowly try and get into a habit of slowly opening it, and even half leave it open, three quarters leave it open, whatever. You're supposed to look at your sajda place, and that is the sunnah way to pray, by keeping it open as well. Now don't worry about distractions, because there is no other distraction if you have your mind there. Now, right now, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. I'm going to ask all of you to just close your eyes. We're going to go into a state of thinking about Allah Azza wa Jalla. So close your eyes. So here we are on the Day of Judgment in front of Allah Azza wa Jalla. and everyone standing, and everyone is around you. But nothing matters. The only thing that matters is Allah, 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 Allah. Allah is watching me. Allah is watching me. Allah is watching me. Allah is watching me. Allah, 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 Allah. Allah is watching me. Allah is watching me. Allah is seeing me. Allah knows me. Allah created me. Allah is watching me. Allah is watching me. Allah. 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 Allah, 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 Allah. Allah, Allah, Allah. Just Allah is watching me. Allah is watching me. I have no past. I have no future. I am only here with Allah. I have no past. I have no future. I am only here with Allah. Repeat after me. I have no past, I have no future, I am only here with Allah. After three. One, two, three. I have no past, I have no future, I am only here with Allah. Again. I have no past, I have no future, I am only here with Allah. Allah, Allah, Allah. Go back and do two rakats for me. Here we are, brothers and sisters. When you're ready, say Allahu Akbar and do your two rakats. Start when you're ready. Okay. Just pay attention, please. Thank you. I'm going to ask a set of questions. Who felt peace in that salah? Put your hands up. That's almost all of you, and I've done this test over and over again. Wherever in the country I've gone and done this, it's always the same response. Who says that this salah was definitely slower than your normal salah that you do? Put your hands up. That's it, guys. You see the key to it? The key to getting concentration in salah is that you slow down. And you'll automatically, I didn't tell you to slow down. Did I tell you to slow down? Yes or no, tell me. No, I didn't. There's a reason why I never said that. Because if I said it, you would have said, oh, because you said it, we slowed down. But look at the stats. There's about 700-800 people here, and not a single person has rushed their salah. Doesn't that say something? That means whenever you're praying your salah, if you're actually praying slowly, you should know that khushu is somewhere there. But if you're rushing it, your mind is not there. Okay, now another question. Who would love to do this kind of prayer with all their prayers for the rest of the life, inshallah. Hands up. Inshallah. Okay, now we're going to say a few ways to maintain this. See, when Allah in the Quran says that your salah is over, what does He say? He says, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ. He says, when your salah is finished, turn towards Him. Still stay focused towards Him. And Allah says in Surah An-Nisa, He says, فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةِ فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُمُ الصَّلَاةِ فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا. Allah says, when you have finished your prayer, then continue to remember Allah standing, sitting. Why does Allah say that? Because the main, if you really want to keep this going on, you know, when you're moving away from here, please, in between salah, try and keep that thing in mind. I'm going to stand in front of Allah. Allah is watching me. I'm going to have to answer to Allah. The more you do dhikr outside salah, the more you think about Allah outside salah, the more you will automatically think about Allah inside your salah. It's automatic. The more you think about money outside salah, when you get in salah, you're going to be thinking about money. The more you think about movies outside salah, you watch movies outside salah, the more you're going to start seeing movies inside salah. They'll automatically come to you. Whether you like it, you dislike it, you're going to start seeing images. Because you're spending your mind watching and thinking about these things. The more thought we've got about a thing outside salah, the more we're going to have it automatically inside salah. But to stop it is what? This is the key phrase I said to you. I don't have a past. I don't have a future. I am only here with Allah. That's it. I don't have a past. I don't have a future. I'm only here with Allah. If you can cut your past off, if you can cut your future off, just don't exist. For a moment, don't exist. And you're only here in that moment with Allah. That's it. And Allah is watching me. Allah is watching me. Allah is watching me. You've achieved it. And you can do that for every single salah. And I'm going to share something with you. That the people I have done this with, they've come up to me and they've said things. They've said to me, Shaykh, since you taught that prayer, I can't thank you enough because when I'm doing that prayer, I feel so good. Some have said to me, I don't want to get up from my sujood. That's how I feel. Some have said to me, I do that salah. I go into that mode and I do that salah to take themselves out of this world, you know, to take yourself out of this world. Some have given other experiences to me of how much they really love to do this kind of salah. Now I'm going to give you a few more tips. If you can learn the concentration, the translation of salah, which is also in this book that I showed you earlier. It's at the back, inshallah you'll find it. If you can learn the translation of the salah and try to connect yourself with the meanings, that's very good. If you can't, the base is, Allah is watching me. Allah is watching me. Allah is watching me. That's all you need. Alright? If you can connect with what does Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen mean, or Ar-Rahman Rahim, or what does Subhan Rabbil Azim mean, and so on, it's very good, and I encourage you to do it. But not everybody can, you know, if you don't know Arabic, you might not be able to always think about all of this. But if you can't, the only thing you do is, I just saying your salah, Allah is watching me. And it's in, basically, you're saying Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, your mind is saying Allah is watching me. You're saying Subhan Rabbil Azim in ruku, your mind is saying Allah is watching me. Your focus is Allah is watching me throughout the salah. You've done it. And you will feel more and more and more tranquil. I'm going to give you a second thing. I want you to try this salah in the night time. There's a beautiful thing about the night time. When it goes dark out there, when people are asleep, and you stand and you do these two rakats in the night, Allahu Akbar. I'm telling you tonight to go and experience this. And when you stand there, when no one is watching you, when it's dark, when others are sleeping away, when no one even knows you're there, and you spend this salah in front of Allah in the night time, there's something amazing about it. What is that? That Allah is actually calling you at that time. Allah, according to Hadith of Bukhari, He's saying, "May yad'uni," in the third part of the night, especially the last part, third part of the night. So this is like early, sort of before Fajr, 2-3 hours before Fajr. Allah is saying, "Who is there to ask me? I will give them. Who is there to seek forgiveness? I will forgive them." Allah is calling, and that time you pray is something amazing that you will find. And if you want another tip of getting your salah concentration is make sure you don't have things that will automatically distract you. Like you got lights flickering, or you got, you know, alarms that might go off, or you might have phones that might go off, or you might have, you know, things that are distracting. Like for example, Rasulullah once he prayed in a cloak. This cloak was given to him as a gift from Abu Jahl. The cloak had a borderline around the cloak, which was a very nice, neat borderline. Rasulullah ﷺ prayed a couple of rakats in that, and then he took that cloak off and he said, "Give this back to Abu Jahl, for it has distracted me in salah." So that strip of embroidery, whatever it was, at the edge of the cloak, that distracted the Prophet ﷺ, and he said, "Give it back to him." He said, "Bring me Abu Jahl's coarse wool cloak. Bring me the cloak that is not, you know, designed in this way. Bring me the other one. I'll wear that one." He didn't want to hurt Abu Jahl, but he said, "Take this back to Abu Jahl. Give me his other one. Give me his other one. I'll pray in that one because that won't distract me in salah." So to have, you know, such clothing or such things in front, they even say when you've got, you know, one of those shawls you wear, if it's dangling down when you're in ruku, they say that's makruh. Why? Because it's going to distract you from salah. Think it's going to distract. Anything that distracts you in salah, if you've got a mirror in front of you, they said that's makruh. Why? You're right in front of the mirror, you're going to watch all the movements behind you, reflections are going to come across that. That's distraction. So that's the reason why they said don't pray in front of a mirror, because reflections are going to come across and it's going to always distract you. They said so many things for us not to have. For example, you go in salah, Rasulullah said you shouldn't be in need of using the toilet. You shouldn't be in need of that because it's going to distract you. You can't concentrate when you really need to go to the toilet or you have the urge to go. You shouldn't stand in salah. When food is there, food, Rasulullah said, إِذَا حَضَرَ الْمَغْرِبْ وَالْعَشَىٰ, he said, when Maghrib comes, and the supper has also come at the same time. He said, start with the supper and then do Maghrib. Why did he say that? It's a Sahih Hadith of Muslim. Why? Because food, the smell of food, you're hungry and you're trying to pray, it's going to distract you. Well, just have your food first and at least concentrate in front of Allah without that distraction. We're supposed to move distractions as much as possible. Right? I'm not saying like lock all your kids up when salah time comes, like, you know what I'm saying? You know, Hasi, you have a time zone inside your house, like you lock yourself up, nobody can get to you, it's bomb proof and it's basically soundproof and they don't know whether you're dead and they should read your janazah salah or not, you know, they don't even know that. I'm not saying that, but you know, you gotta, and slowly what happens is you've gotta pray your salah then distractions come around, they won't distract you. So much so, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu come from a battlefield. He came from a battlefield. And what did he have? He had a spear inside his thigh. You know, he could, to move it was so much of pain. So, and they didn't have local anesthetic. So how is he going to get the spear out of his thigh? So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, "I know a way of not feeling the pain." They said, "What?" He said, "I'm going to stand in salah. That's the only thing I know. I'm going to stand in salah." And he stood in salah. He said, "When I'm in salah, just take it out." So when he did his salam, he looked and it was gone. He said, "You took it out." They said, "When you went into sujood, we just took it out. You didn't feel anything." Allah, taking a spear out without local anesthetic, because his mind has become the local anesthetic. Allahu Akbar. That is the power of salah, when a person finds the meaning of salah and the devotion inside salah. Another one would be that you're inside the salah, slow yourself down. Or what you do is you switch your surahs. So you're not always praying the same surah, switch something different, right? Another one is you're in ruku, you normally do 3 Subhan Rabbiyal A'la Azims, or in sujood you do Subhan Rabbiyal A'la 3 times, do it 5 or 7 times, do it 9 times, do it 11 times, do it 13 times. Because it will make you do something different, right? Another one is that if you are praying, are you doing your salah? Just think that I am standing. Some people try this, okay, it works for them. They think that angel of death is standing right behind me. And I do these 2 rakats and the angel of death is going to snap me up. So this is it. I'm just going to get these 2 rakats and he's right behind me. He's just watching, he's just waiting for me to finish these 2 rakats and I'm gone. Some people think of Jannah on my right side and Jahannam on my left side and I'm going to pray there, and that's what they think. Some people bring, you know, in their mind the Akhirah, like I said to you earlier, standing in front of Allah. Some people think, you know, no past, no future, like I said to you before. These are all the ways of you, you know, keeping your concentration inside the salah. Another one is just before your salah, what you do is you do some dhikr. So a good few la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, again, just keep the la ilaha, that's it, just you Allah, just you Allah, keep the mind focused, and then stand for, say Allahu Akbar and start the salah. So there are a number of ways that you can do. The best one would be that you remain constant dhikr if you can outside of the salah. And then you'll see that you'll stop sinning. Sins automatically go. This is the type of salah that will stop people from sinning. Allah said, "Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar." Salah stops a person from obscenity and from evil. This is the salah that will do that, my brothers and sisters. You will see automatically, you will not be inclined. The more you do of the salah, the more you will be away from that type of sin. If you've got an urge to sin, just do this type of salah. Just do it. Another one is that you do your salah. You do your salah, and as you're doing your salah, you are in a place where others are not distracting you, or that they might try to distract you, but you're in a place where it's your regular place with your musalla, and you there. And you know what it does? Over time, it makes, you know when you do khushu on that spot? If you go and pray in another spot, all you have to do is think of that spot in your house. Try this, okay? So the same spot in your house, the same musalla, you pray on it with khushu again and again. So one day you went to your relative's house. One day you came to a place like this, in a wedding or something, and you have to pray. All you do is, you say Allahu Akbar, and you imagine you're on your musalla in your house, because that's the spot where you get all your khushu in your salah. And it really works. It really works. When you keep on thinking, you know, you're distracted at the place where you are, you think of the spot in your house where you stand every time and you gain your salah, khushu of salah, you think of that, and it just brings that khushu back into the mind again. Right? I'm going to give you a final, if you've got any hands up to tell me, if you've got any other ideas that has worked for anyone or who knows that might work for someone about increasing your khushu in salah, put your hands up and I'll share that with everyone if you've got that. Anyone got anything that they might want to share? Put your hands up and say, well, this is another thing I do, I know someone has done, right, which has helped them to increase their khushu in salah, or their concentration in salah. Share that. Hand up, anyone? Not a Q&A session, but just an idea session. Anyone? No? Yes? Thank you. So to feel like it's your last prayer, like I said, she's saying angel of death is right above you, like just ready to take you up. That will help. Like I said, you could imagine it behind you or above you. Anyone else? No question. I want a suggestion to. I'll give you Q&A in a bit. I want a suggestion. Why are you going to translation of what you're going to read? Okay, thank you. Going over the translation of what you're going to read and do it. In fact, some brothers, you know, they go over a particular different translation. They do hifz of that. That makes them even more. You know, I did it at the kaf with some brothers. They start to learn some different ayats and look at the concentration, and something like causes fear inside you, or causes some great attention towards Allah. They memorize that, and they learn the meaning of that, and then they stand in salah with that. So it's something really new, and it makes you think about concentration. Anyway, I'm going to ask you now, whoever's got Q&A on this very short Q&A, and then we're going to allow you to go. So please, hands up if you've got. I think the brother wanted to ask a question. There. Yep. It's the same thing. Yep. Anyone got important question to ask that needs clarification with anything I've said today? I'm going to say to you, Jazakumullahu khair to everybody. Before you go, please. Jazakumullahu khair. You've been told about, those people who've been told about the forms to see them at the back, the books at the back, there's all those tickets at the back. Inshallah, thank you. We'll see you once again. Jazakumullahu khair. Wa akhidawana alhamdulillah.